Hockey's back, and so are we. Welcome back to the Kauffman Show. It's been way too long. I missed you all. Jay Farrar, I still miss. He's not here. Jay is sick tonight. Can you believe it, ladies and gentlemen? We are doing a Kauffman Show without my partner in crime, my foil, Mr. Jay Farrar. Let's all send him our best wishes and hope that he gets over the flu that seems to be wreaking havoc across North America right now. But somehow I've been spared, and I'm here, and I'm so damn pumped to be back with all of you. And I know everybody wants to. We're going to open up the phone lines basically right away, 514-790-1690-1690. If you're out of town, 1-866-896-2546. Hockey's back. I'm sure that some of you are excited. Some of you are probably still a little pissed off. I want to hear from both of those camps, and we'll see if we can all come out feeling good about this thing right now. Everybody seems to be very happy. The vibe I've gotten so far is a very happy vibe. And I'll tell you, I was shocked waking up Sunday morning and feeling as good about it as I did. I really did not expect to be as happy and as excited as I was. I have spent so much time in the last several months angry that they didn't get a deal done in the summer and just fed up with all the greed. But hey, here we are. It's back. And that's good news. More good news. We have a special guest in studio tonight. Mr. Mike Spry is with us all the way from Wakefield, Quebec. Came barreling down the highway. Mr. Spry, welcome to the Kauffman Show.
Well, thanks for having me, sir. Does that... I'm the Jay Farrar to your Jeff Tweedy. Does that make sense?
There you go. I like it.
Okay, that'll be... I only have three more Uncle Tupelo references to go, I promise.
We don't hear enough of them on the show.
Oh, man. Okay, well, then I have 10 more.
There was... Good, good. I don't have any Uncle Tupelo lined up, but we might play some Wilco during the show. And I know you were looking forward to finding out if my co-host Jay Farrar is, in fact, the same
Jay Farrar. It's a great mystery. It's the only reason I came to Montreal, really, so I'm kind of disappointed.
Oh, no. Well, we'll get Jay on the phone... I don't know, in a few minutes, probably, maybe next segment.
That'll work.
Yeah, I want to call him, but I don't want to call him too late. You know, the guy obviously needs his sleep. I've got my mom making a matzo ball soup, though.
Oh, well, so then he'll be okay.
He's on the road to recovery. Let's go to Andrew in Montebello. Hello, chef. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys.
How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. Your friend from Wakefield, you said, did he come through Montebello?
No. I went into Ottawa and I took I had a VIA train to myself this morning. I had the whole cart.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. I mean, you don't get coffee service, but you can really stretch it out.
That is so sweet.
I'm assuming it wasn't blockaded halfway through the ride. Right?
No. And the VIA Rail Wi-Fi hamster seemed to be dead because it took about 3 hours to open an email. And by the time I did, I was here. But you know, my legs aren't cramped, so there's that.
Well, Dave, it's kind of funny. It's like without the Mr. Farrar, like Christmas, with a Christmas tree. It's just goodness. It's so weird to not have you both together. I mean, I thought you guys were actually tied at the hip.
Well, to be fair, whenever there's a Springsteen concert and I jump out of town, Jay takes care of the reins. So I think we'll be okay without him tonight. I promised him that he's not going to be Wally Pipped. And just to be sure, the guy who's sitting in his chair right now lives 2 and a bit hours away.
Yeah, I got stuff to do. I have a limited hotel budget.
We pay very handsomely, though.
Yeah,
as
TSN
you know.
Has. Yeah. I'm getting good off this.
So what's going on, Chef?
Well, like everybody else, woke up Sunday morning early and turned the team on right away, and it was funny. Oh, it was great. They had the great news and stuff like that, and I was happy for everybody who was so involved in all of this and all the people around the stadium, around the arenas and stuff like that. Business is going to get back to usual, but I'm still pissed off a little bit.
At who?
At both of them. I mean, I'm basically at the players and the owners for taking us for granted.
Okay, so before you say you're pissed off at the players,
both.
I understand, but one of those sides
up.
Is the players.
And they were locked up.
The owner's side, I understand the anger. I feel a lot of it. But
well,
frankly, it is what business is, right, Andrew? That is what business is.
This is what business is.
Now, if you're going to be upset with the players, then... See, I have trouble with that because I would not want if one of those players was my kid or my brother, I would not want him to capitulate. I wouldn't want him to just roll over. And thinking of, frankly, they've ensured at least that the status quo or whatever level it is that they're happy with this, which I guess is 50-50, which seems damn fair to me, is going to be around for 8 to 10 years. So I feel like they already gave a lot. And yeah, look, they make a ton more money than any of us will ever see. But it doesn't mean that they can't still get screwed around.
I understand it completely. And because of the history of the game and what the game has actually done to players over the years, and that is, they have every right. That, I mean, it's, I should basically, you have to name somebody. It would be Donald Fehr, because going into this, I mean, this is basically what they accepted. It was something that was thrown out on the table at the beginning. This whole thing should have been done in a week and a half.
Okay, the quote that killed me, Chef, was the in Bruce Arthur's article yesterday about the end of the lockout. Andrew Ferentz, I think, I'm pretty sure this was in Bruce's article. Andrew Ferentz saying that they accomplished more in 16 hours over, between Saturday and Sunday morning than they did in 6 months.
And isn't that a scary thought to have Andrew Ferentz, the thought of reason? The voice.
I didn't even think about it that way, but okay.
No, but I mean, seriously, think about it for a sec. Anyways, but I mean, I
off ice and on ice are two different things. I mean, the superstar of the lockout for the NHLPA was Ron Hainsey.
I know.
You'll never hear that sentence again.
And Matthew Darche.
Yeah, well, but that again makes sense. Everybody knows how smart Matthew Darche is.
And I know, for someone who's going to bat for so much and basically might not even have a job next week.
Hey, George Parros was in the room, too.
Yeah, but who's going to
who is known as the pugilist that plays piano and does the Sunday Times in 5 minutes.
But don't you kind of have the feeling like this is kind of like a retirement kind of have fun thing for Donald Fehr? Like, he had done the MLB thing.
No, I don't feel, I don't think that's fair.
I don't think I think this was just kind of like, you know, he was he had a contest there with Bettman and they went at it.
I don't think that's fair. I got to say, I mean,
you think he can tell a
I think Donald Fehr.
You think he can name 30 teams in the NHL?
Sure. And I'll tell you what, he's not paid to know the 30 teams, and he's not paid to. I don't care if Donald Fehr doesn't know what icing is.
He was paid to spend 113 days to get the same deal they had 112 days ago.
He was there to get them the best deal they could, and frankly, he proved that he was Bettman's foil in all this.
See,
and who comes out looking better right now? You got to say Donald Fehr comes out looking better than Gary Bettman.
I think they all look horrible. I think they all look horrible, and it'll be really interesting to see what happens in the next couple of weeks. Like, you know, Canadians will come back because it's cold and we have nothing else to do. but in a place like Nashville, where they made huge inroads last year, you know, and then they lost Suter, and so that was going to hurt them anyway. And how is that crowd going to come back? L.A., who had a huge resurgence and was back to, like, they won the Cup. They got back to nearly Gretzky-era popularity. Is that going to come back? What happens in Carolina? You got to figure any hockey going on in Florida is dead.
One would assume.
Because the big problem in Florida is that their huge crowds come in the winter when the Canadian snowbirds go down there. But their money's spent. They've already sent their vacation money elsewhere.
Oh, no, come
on.
We're talking about a $15 ticket in Miami. I think people can still afford to go see the Panthers
I think if
play.
You buy Marlins tickets, you get free Panthers tickets.
Thanks for the call, Chef.
Dave.
Yeah.
Just real quick, I mean, actually, as a fan, I just had a couple of ideas, and these are all Pacific.
You mean of things the Habs won't do?
No, things that we should actually do just to tell them that we are a little bit ticked off. We will still be there. We know. We will flock to games.
Let's hear it.
Do you put a paper bag over your head saying, shame on me, or fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you, fool
yeah,
me.
Yeah, but isn't this the fourth time?
Oh, fool me four times. Oh, yeah, you did that too. Or do you just wear your jerseys backwards just to show them, listen, you guys got this inside out, upside down, the whole time. We deserve more.
It's a crisscross protest.
Exactly. There you go, guys. Hey, have a great evening.
Thanks, man. All the best.
Take care, man.
The banter.
Thank you. That is Andrew, the chef in Montebello. And, I mean, he brings up some good points. I don't think we'll see paper bags over Habs fans' heads.
But he did, you know, kind of send us into a conversation about what is the NHL going to do? They have to do something to make it up. Then Elliot Friedman, I think, had the best suggestion.
Which
was that make center ice package free for the season.
Okay, I don't remember if it was Elliot, but I was doing the updates on Melnick in the afternoon last week. I think Pierre LeBrun had said something similar. And I'm a season ticket holder, Mike. That doesn't help me one lick.
Well, I'm poor, Dave, so it helps me a lot.
Well, I don't. You know what? The tickets aren't. They're up in the sky, okay? but it is my hard-earned money that goes into their pockets.
Right.
I think I should be rewarded with something as well.
So you need,
and not just the 3% kickback that I got for every game that wasn't played this year.
That's all you got back?
It would have, if they'd canceled the season, I think it would have maxed out at $150.
See, don't you? Oh man. See, that's the frustrating things, and it happened the last lockout. Like, I'm amazed the Canadians flocked back like we did. You know, and it was a little bit.
It was an easier ticket.
It'll be different because we had the like we had a year that we missed, and then we had a summer off, mm-hmm. and then winter came, and it was almost like, oh, okay, hockey's back.
Right.
But this time,
and
we're
don't forget the Expos were gone at that point too.
Exactly.
There was really not much.
But now
going
we're
on.
Mid-season. We're going to throw in a 48-game, 2013 season. Who comes back? It's going to be interesting. The first game. The first game. It'll be interesting. Do they get booed? Like, do they get mercilessly booed?
No, because how do you boo an arena? Are you going to boo management? Are you going to boo Jeff Molson by not drinking his beer?
Don't underestimate the ingenuity of the hockey fan. I think they'll come up with something.
Mass mobilization, Mike. That's where it gets difficult.
I had a suggestion. I work with a literary sports journal called thebarnstormer.com.
A fine site that we will discuss at length tonight, sir.
Indeed. That's thebarnstormer.com.
Sorry, well, it's thebarnstormer.com?
The Barnstormer.
Oh, it's thebarnstormer.com. Got it.
And early on, we had a suggestion when the strike started to do a kind of a mass fan protest called Take Hockey Back.
Right.
And our suggestion was, we knew it was coming back inevitably, but what to do? And our suggestion was that first night, it's going to be, I guess, the 19th of January, the Saturday, don't go to a game. Don't watch a game. You know, take that. I mean, buy the ticket, sure, you know, but don't show up. Have some kind of like massive movement that gets some press and shows like the NHL, the NHPA, and all the teams that like, you know, you did this to us. You know, something that we love. You took it away from us for X amount of time. We're going to come back, but you got to know we're here.
I had said something similar and probably copied it off reading it on the Barnstormer.
Of course you did. I think we have a copyright.
That I was going to not use my tickets for the first game.
Right.
I share them with a buddy. I hope that he's on board.
Right.
I called him yesterday. He's a good friend of mine, but not somebody that I hang out a lot with outside of the hockey season.
Right.
So I called him yesterday for the first time in a good long while. It's like, hey, buddy, hockey's back on. Give me a shout. And I hope that Chris is on board and is willing to sacrifice that first game because I want to do something.
At the very least, turn off Coach's Corner, because that would just be good for everybody.
Not a problem. let's go to the phones. We've got a very special guest on the line right now. Let's see if he can speak. Jay?
What do you want, Dave?
Oh, that's terrible. How are you, man? You okay?
What do you want?
My mom is making the matzo ball soup. It's en route, okay?
Oh, thank God for your mother. She's not Greek, but it's good enough for me.
I got to say, Jay, we miss you. I will very briefly introduce you to Mike over the radio here. Mike, Jay, Mike.
Jay, how you doing, buddy?
How you doing, Mike? I was wondering who you had in there in studio cheating on me with there.
After that cough, I kind of want to Purell the studio. I think I caught a little something.
Yeah, that's the power of this cough. Yeah, it's a pretty good one, and I'm being a bit of a baby though. It's just a little man cold. I'll get over it soon.
You're
but
entitled.
It was probably better that I didn't come into studio today.
I think everybody at the station appreciates it. There's
I'm sure there are
all of these very scary looking signs, some of them in German, all around the station saying if you're sick, do not show up.
Yeah, it's so, always scarier in German.
Always, everything's always scarier in German. Jay, it's been like almost a month since I've seen you. We were off air for 2 weeks. What's new, buddy?
Not much, except for the digits in the year. That's pretty much it. The holidays aren't much for me. I'm pretty much working through the whole time. But I'm glad to see that hockey's back, that's for sure.
Changed. Was it euphoric downtown last night?
I wasn't downtown last night, so
really?
I don't know.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
no. I really am sick.
I believe you. I believe you, man. I believe
you. Tried
you.
To catch you in a lie there.
I already made the
slick.
I already made the reference on air. I promise you, sir, you will not be Wally Pipped.
I was wondering if I should lie and say I was downtown, and then just I get caught up in this net of lies, and it would have been awful.
Well, no, it's possible to be out last night and then sick today, you know.
I can tell you there's a lot of happy pub owners out there right now.
I bet.
Those are the people I do feel good for.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the people. At the end of the day, like, those are the people who got killed. The pub owners, the ushers, the parking lot guys.
Yep.
The scalpers.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Like, those poor scalpers.
You got to feel
for
them, man.
Poor scalpers. Yeah, I do feel for them. Because they're such likable guys, too.
Wonderful.
You know, that's the thing about them.
You know what? I'm going to stop you both right there, right now. ticket brokers are the backbone of the sports business industry. Without them, I would not have gone to many games growing up. I would not have had great seats at many Expos games growing up. And if the gentleman who has helped me out for the better part of the last 20 years is listening, I want to thank him.
That was a sideways.
There are some very, very fine individuals out there that help people get into events when the demand exceeds the supply.
Yeah, the security guards.
Yeah, exactly. It's like any other drug dealer. You have the guy that you can call on the phone that's very reliable, or sometimes you're just going to have to go out on the street and, you know, you might get a foil paper full of dandelions. You never know.
Speaking of, Jay, is that your pager going off?
My pager? I don't have a pager. Pager?
It's a joke, man. It's a joke.
No, I know it's a joke.
Okay. Yeah. You see, when you're not looking at me, it's just this is all weird, man. This is all weird.
It's awkward.
I miss you, Jay.
I know. I miss you too, Dave. Okay. I miss. I really wanted to come in there today, but like you said, that place is like a petri dish. I mean, it's just it'll just gather in bacteria and just everybody. You guys would have died on the way home. That's how bad this is.
On that lovely note, Jimmy, John, Mike, and I all hope that you feel better, and we can't wait to see you next Monday.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, I miss all the guys there, and I'll be back next Monday, and we'll be only a week away from hockey at that time. So, wow, I don't know if I'm still angry at them, but we'll see a week from now. See if I'm still pissed off at the NHL, and we'll talk about it then.
I hope you are, because I'm really not. I thought I would be, and one of us has to be.
Yeah, I probably will be, because you know I have to be pissed off about something.
That's
Dave,
right,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, I'll pick that.
I'm sure nothing else. You'll find nothing else in the next 7 days to upset you.
No,
maybe matzo ball soup.
Yeah, not if my mom makes it.
God bless your mother, Dave. That would be awesome.
I'll speak to you soon.
All right, guys. Have a good show. Have fun.
Thanks, man. Feel better.
All right. Ciao.
It's the Kaufman Show. Special guest Mike Spry in studio. Follow him on Twitter, MD Spry. Are you a doctor?
Okay,
if so, Jay could use your help.
I can prescribe.
You can tweet at J-Pub Radio as well. Just don't do it too late. The guy needs some sleep. This is the Kaufman Show. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Mike Spry. We got John Kakalakis in studio as well, who we are going to wish a very happy name day to. Hello, John.
Hello, everyone.
Thank How are you?
Very good. Yourselves?
Good. I'm not used to that being celebrated.
Yeah, well,
that ain't a thing we do, John, I got to say.
No, but in the Greek culture, name days are celebrated much more than
bigger
birthdays.
Bigger than your birthday, right?
Much more.
That's wild.
Yeah.
What, I feel bad now. You're working on your name day.
Well, no, it's a pleasure
to
be working.
Can you imagine if every John took the day off today? Every Greek John wasn't working? My God, this city would be paralyzed.
Mind you, in Greece, they look for any reason to enjoy a day off, so.
I took today off. My name's Mike, but, you know.
Well.
What the heck?
I'm sure you'll have your own name day soon enough.
I freelance, so technically I take every day off.
Oh, that's not fair. Freelancing is some of the hardest work that can be done out there.
I know. I had to put on pants today. I'm exhausted.
No dental plan.
I plan on dentures as soon as I turn 45 and I make my first $10,000.
Have you always been a freelancer?
No, it's been about a year and a half of you know, fighting for work. Started out poor, moved to poorer. Now I'm doing okay, you know. But it was a tough go at first, but yeah, I'm liking it. Like I said, I love not having to wear pants on most days.
Which is, again, super awesome.
Yeah, you know.
And why I work in radio.
I live in the... exactly. Well, my mother said I have a beard for radio, so...
let's talk about the Barnstormer, because, well, first of all, that's how we peripherally met, I guess, through Twitter. This is a first date, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Mike and I met about 20 minutes before the show started, found out that Jay wasn't going to be here, and... I haven't asked him what he likes to do on his nights off yet, but we're getting there, slowly but surely. But Mike is one of the four people that run the Barnstormer, which is a website that really I have nothing but great things to say about. It's quite complimentary to what we're trying to do on this show, I find.
Well, thanks, Ben. That's really kind of you. Yeah, the Barnstormer started, I guess, about last May with a couple of buddies from all over the world, Brian J. Abias in Toronto, Andrew Forbes in Peterborough, and the wonderful Ian Ordy in Berlin. We needed some European content.
Of course.
But we wanted to do what we call literary sports journalism. And we thought what was missing from sports journalism was, one, was longer form pieces. You know, like the old, like really long, like 8-page things you'd get in SI when you were a kid, you know, and just like just delve into them. Like everything's bullet point in sports now, you know.
Something about attention spans being shorter.
Exactly.
140 burst tweets. And
exactly.
Like that.
And we didn't want to hide our fandom, because we think sometimes in sports journalism the fandom is there, but it's thinly veiled. And so we wanted to be obvious about our allegiances. And we wanted to also publish like poetry and fiction with a sports bent, and have our friends on to write about sports in kind of any manner they saw fit. And we also wanted to attack, which was really important to us, was some of the social and cultural issues within sports.
And that's where you guys got me.
Right on, man.
And a great example of why I reached out to you this week and asked you to come on the show with us was you're picking a part of the Tory Hunter comments.
Man, yeah.
and I can see you're still fuming.
Yeah, well, I'd picked up a lot of work, so I hadn't written much for the Barnstormer in a while, and then we slowed down a bit at Christmas. And then, fortunately, Tory Hunter's an idiot, and so...
let's give our listeners some context.
Right. Tory Hunter, in a piece in the LA Times by Kevin Baxter. Kevin was writing a piece about gay athletes in team sports. And the quote that he got from Tory Hunter was, "For me as a Christian, I'll be uncomfortable because in all my teachings and all my learning biblically, it's not right. It will be difficult and uncomfortable." And this just infuriated me. Like, it's 2013, and to get this kind of attitude from an athlete, and this isn't unique, you know? Tory Hunter is not the only one who has made similar statements. And what angered me more than Tory Hunter's statement is the fact that it tends to go, it makes a minute of sports news, it gets like a column inch, and then it's gone. And we move on, and we excuse it. We either excuse it because they're Christians, which is ridiculous. We excuse it because they're athletes, and you can hit 250 and play left field. Or we excuse it because we've come to expect less from our athletes, which to me... is not just sad. As a paying customer, it's offensive.
Do you think there's a time where we expected more across the board from our athletes? Because, I mean, I hear a comment like that, and I think of Michael Jordan saying that he won't endorse anybody politically because Republicans buy shoes as well.
Right. And then I think this New Year's 40th anniversary of the death of Roberto Clemente.
Sure.
You know? I feel like
that's the exception. The Robinsons, the Muhammad Ali's are the exception to the rule.
I think, and Jackie Robinson, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, we're waiting for the gay Jackie Robinson.
Sure.
That's the last barrier to be broken in sport. And this kind of xenophobic, homophobic comment that goes unpunished by someone like Tory Hunter does nothing to bring sports up to the point where the rest of our culture has gotten to.
Right, because he definitely has a gay teammate and has had gay teammates.
Certainly.
All through his playing career.
I think, and, you know, worse than the Hunter thing, and I imagine you guys have talked about this, was Yunel Escobar this past summer.
Of course.
That might have been the most offensive sporting moment of my life.
Yeah, and you made the point that if he had gone to work as a Rogers cell phone customer,
certainly,
with two heiress Mary Cohn written under his eyes,
there's no way he goes to work the next day.
Not a chance.
He's fired. It's ridiculous.
Let alone gets paid.
He got a 3-game suspension. He uses that, you know, oh, and, you know, in Latino culture, it means something different. Well, no, it doesn't. You know, don't insult us by explaining to us that you don't know what that means. And also, how come no one on the Toronto Blue Jays stopped him? Like, no one noticed the guy had something written on his face? Like, if right now Kaufman has "Go Habs" written on his face, and I can't stop staring at it. You know, and everyone who's seen him today has made a mention of it. So if he had 2S Maricon written on his face, it's going to be mentioned. Omar Vizquel. I mean, that's what surprised me.
That's what Omar Vizquel was put on that
team
for.
He was brought into that clubhouse to make those young Latino players adults. And he didn't do it.
No.
And John Farrell, of course, was just, you know, watching the Bobby Valentine clock, so he didn't care.
Unreal.
But, and part of what I argued in the article and what we believe in on thebarnstormer.com is that this kind of behavior has to be dealt with by the teams, by the fans, the media, for sure. The media doesn't ask the questions. They don't bring this up. They don't attack it enough. You know, the Blue Jays should have cut him. They should have waived him. They have every right. It's a violation of his contract with the Jays, with Major League Baseball, within their collective bargaining agreement. It's a violation of Rogers' employee policy. Would it have gone to court? Maybe. But that's a great thing to bring out to the press, a discussion to have.
Sure, but it would have been a hell of a fight with the MLBPA. And we know how that union goes to bat for their players.
Right. But explain that to me. Explain how they say, we want our players to have the right to write xenophobic comments on their face.
I'm pretty sure
And play middling shortstop for a fifth-place team.
It's the same ridiculous argument that they used when the steroid accusations first came to light.
Right.
Which is that it's not illegal. It's not written as saying, you can't do this.
Right.
Therefore, you can do this.
Right. But steroids offend a game.
This offends society.
This offends society.
Yeah.
To me, it's much bigger than steroids. It's sports are the last bastion of hate, of acceptable hate in our culture. And until the leagues, the player associations, and the sports media collectively, and the fans say, you know what, time to put an end to this. It's time to all of us stand up. And the next time this happens, there have to be consequences. And, you know, we need more initiatives like Patrick Burke's You Can Play Project, which I think is the best thing to happen to pro sports in the last 10 years.
What I like is the way that they, Patrick and the rest of the You Can Play people, have a very deft way of shaming an athlete while educating them and bringing them around at the same time.
Exactly.
And it's this act where it's in one fell swoop. They publicly shame them.
Right.
And help rehabilitate their image.
Exactly. That's exactly how my mom got me to go back to university. Exact same methodology. You know, she's retired now. She could probably do some work for You Can Play. Oh, I should hook them up.
Yes, it Berkey, as they call him. I hate that. Get in touch with Mrs. Spry.
Yeah.
Mrs. Dr. Spry.
Just direct message me, Patrick.
Did you put MD Spry so your mom would be happy that she thinks you're a doctor?
You know what? No. Yeah. Look, I got my master's degree, all right?
Fair enough.
That's enough. I've done it.
Fair enough.
I've done enough.
And you've made it.
Yes.
You're here. You're back on TSN
well,
Radio.
Well, Dave, I have a master's degree in English Lit and Creative Writing. The world is mine. There's no $12 an hour job I don't qualify for.
With a degree like that, never at a loss for words, I would imagine.
Yeah, words I got.
This is The Kaufman Show. We've got Travis Reitzma around the corner. Been too long. Looking forward to catching up with Travis. Steve Hindle, we're going to talk a little hockey. Mr. Kakalakis is, he's celebrating that name day thing, but we're going to get him into this conversation very soon. And lots going on in the sports world. As always, phone lines are open, 790-1690, 1-866-896-2546. You're listening to The Kaufman Show.
Oh yeah, you're pretty good looking. good looking for a girl.
On some old school White Stripes on the Kaufman Show. Special guest co-host Mike Spry in studio with us tonight. Jay Farrar is resting up and dealing with that nasty flu that so many of you are probably dealing with right now. I think that was the first story on the news yesterday, is that that's sweeping across the country.
That was the first story?
Yes, yes. Well, you know, Notre Dame didn't quite make it yet. That'll be tomorrow's top story. And it's funny, those kids tonight in that college football game, the national championship, they're downright grizzled veterans.
Oh, yeah.
Compared to the world junior team from
last
year.
Well, and think of it, man. They have classes at 8 tomorrow. they got intro to literary theory, you know, sports management 101.
Rocks for jocks?
Yeah, they all major in sports management.
Do they?
Yeah.
It's, well, I mean, there's a lot of jobs in sports management to be had, right?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, geez, in 8 years we'll have another lockout, you know? Donald Fear's not going to be there.
Does a degree in sports management allow you to print the tickets or just sell the tickets?
I don't know. I think you just end up as an intern for Alan Walsh and doing his tweeting.
Or do you become a ticket broker?
Yeah.
Maybe that's how that works.
Yeah, you stand inside the Bell Center in the cold.
I know somebody else who knows the meaning of searching and fighting and seeking education and truth and constantly looking for another degree. It's Mr. Travis Reitzma from Runs Batted Out. Been way too long, my friend. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, Travis.
I am wonderful.
Good. Good to know.
Yeah, long time no talk.
Yeah, man. Way too long. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
And, boy, the last time we spoke, the Blue Jays were a fairly meddling, crappy baseball team.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, they weren't. I think the last time we talked, they weren't all that bad yet.
Oh, okay. It was before the fall.
Yeah, the complete collapse hadn't quite happened yet. So.
Well, let this be a good omen.
So you spoke in 1993?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We last spoke when Joe Carter was touching them all.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Well, I mean, what an off season.
Yeah, it's probably the best time to be a Blue Jays fan since Joe Carter touched them all. So, I mean, at least for me, I'm pretty excited. So.
Well, no, there was that brief moment where Roger Clemens found Toronto on steroids, so there was a little
excitement there. That's true. There was a little excitement then, too. But
they
still
won,
I think, 88 games or something that year.
Yeah,
but what a pool party, Travis. I mean, that pool party was legendary.
That thing
got written about in a congressional report 10 years later. You know you're at a good party.
That's
when
a good
it gets
party.
Mentioned
are you sure
on Capitol Hill. Pardon?
You sure you're not misremembering?
Well put. Well put. I'm shocked by your you wrote an article last week. Travis runs a great baseball website called Runs Batted Out, and which gives me a very undeserving credit as a contributor, which I either have to fix by giving you something to submit or you have to get rid of my name. One or the other.
I think there's only been two of the five people I have listed as contributors who've actually contributed something.
Well, in that case.
It takes a while. It takes a while for me to get around to taking you down. So.
Cool. In that case, let the good times roll. We'll continue to plug the site in all earnestness. But you did talk about this. The article was titled Braves Return to Screaming Savage Logo, a Disgrace. And if anybody remembers the old Atlanta Braves logo, it was a very angry, menacing, stereotypical Indian with a mohawk and the feather, and it's one of the more racist things I've seen. And unlike Chief Wahoo in Cleveland, there's nothing really cartoony about this one.
No, not at all.
Not that makes the one in Cleveland any better.
No, certainly not. But it's a different kind of racist, I suppose.
Exactly. So
it's literally a screaming stereotype.
Exactly.
Yep, literally. And that Screaming Savage name, I'm sure they've at least ditched that now, but that was actually the official name of the logo back when they used it.
Of course it was.
And we're talking about a logo that was retired successfully 23 years ago, and they've somehow managed to bring it back It's pretty remarkable. And now there's a story that's circulating that says they may actually nix it, which is not surprising.
Well, that's a good thing. I think a lot of that is people like you going out and raising a stink about it.
Yeah, well, there's certainly a lot higher profile people than me that have been attacking it pretty thoroughly. So it's good to see.
What makes them, I mean, not that we can put ourselves in the mind of a marketing department, but what on earth would make them want to bring this back?
I have no idea. I mean, sometimes you'll get fans clamoring for an old retro logo to come back, but as far as I know, I didn't see any of that clamoring from Braves fans. Maybe they were, and I just wasn't aware of it. You know, sometimes you'll see that, but it doesn't really make sense to me. You'd think that the marketing department would have the wherewithal to know that, you know, a logo like that, even if you don't find it personally racist, is probably unacceptable. It's remarkable to me that not one person in that marketing department decided to stop this from happening.
Well, and how did it go through several stages? Like, this isn't an intern.
I'm wondering, how does MLB not vet this?
Yeah, someone's not doodling this, and all of a sudden it's on MLB site and you can buy a hat. Like, this has to go through stages of people to approve it over and over.
Well, it hasn't technically been approved yet either. That's one of the things. It was sort of a leaked thing, but these leaked logos always happen. Major League Baseball doesn't stop them because they know it drives up interest. And it's just, I don't really understand it at all.
We're in conversation with Travis Reitzman from Runs Batted Out. Now, are there any other glaring ones? Like, Cleveland seems to use the Chief Wahoo less and less. They went with a C on their hat this year.
They did, yeah. I think that they're still using the Chief Wahoo logo on their home hats.
Okay.
But after the last few years, they've actually taken it off of most of their road uniforms, and they actually don't use the logo at all in their spring training facility, whether it's on their uniforms or on any of the marketing or anywhere on the stadium. Which I find interesting because they actually train in Arizona, which has a much higher Native American population. So it's interesting that they decided to take it out entirely down there, and they still use it more at home than anywhere else.
You think that's done intentionally?
I think so.
Wow.
I think they're understanding there's a bit of a backlash on the logo, and they know that they're not going to get that backlash quite as harshly from their home fans. So, you know, they'll take it off all the road stuff first, but and maybe see how it goes. I think they're going to phase it out. I think within 5 or 10 years, you won't see that logo anymore, but that's just my speculation.
Did you feel some sort of a parallel between this story going on in the States and Idle No More going on in Canada?
Yeah, I definitely did. I thought it was interesting that at the time, right when the Idle No More campaign here in Canada started to go global, started to actually make headlines across the world, including in the U.S., that's the time that this sort of thing gets released. It sort of adds to the insensitivity of the whole thing.
Hmm. What do you? I don't know if you saw the news today. The audit of Attawapiskat.
I didn't see it today, but I haven't followed the news yet today.
Well, supposedly the very little of the money that's been brought in through government aid can be accounted for.
Oh yeah, okay, I did see that. Actually, that came out yesterday on some sites as well. So.
Well, I only saw it this morning. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Somewhere, anyway.
you were distracted by Jay Farrar's deathbed.
Yeah. Wait, is that the guy from Uncle Tupelo?
Here we go again. Here we go.
That's
again.
Number two.
Yeah, yeah. It just seems like such a mess, and with no side willing to share the blame, let alone accept any part of a blame, it just makes you wonder where they go.
Yeah. And I mean, I find it interesting too. I don't think the Prime Minister has met yet with the chief that is on strike there as well. Or on hunger strike, I should say. It's interesting that...
That's supposed to happen, though, in the next few days.
Yeah, supposedly, but, you know, he's taking his time. Yeah.
I don't know. Supposedly, like, if an announcement comes out on Friday that the Prime Minister is going to meet with the chief the following Wednesday or Thursday, they say that's actually very quick by, you know, Ottawa speak.
That might be true, but
and you know me, I'm not going to sit here and defend politicians. That's not what we do. We take them to task. We don't defend them. But it just you wonder what the meeting, other than the obviously that Chief Spence would start eating again.
Mm-hmm.
What will the meeting resolve?
Yeah, it's hard to say.
It's a matter, I think, of beginning a dialogue. That discussion has kind of been put by the wayside in Canada for quite a while, since the Meech Lake Accord, you know?
Yeah.
And the splitting of, I guess, a lot of the First Nations organizations kind of split their hierarchy. And so this is the first time I can remember in a while when it's back within the public discourse.
Oka crisis was the big one when I was young.
Right, right. And so, I mean, and it's an important, and it's a horrible part of our history and something that we have never atoned for and never properly dealt with.
I mean, it still goes on today, too. I mean, I grew up 15 minutes away from a reserve that I didn't venture onto until I was well into my teenage years. And
right. It
was like walking into a third world country. I couldn't understand how this was just down the road from you know, where I grew up.
Yeah, I mean, there's a fairly large reserve called Ganawage that's just outside of Montreal. And it is not, I mean, it's not Montreal. It's not supposed to be Montreal. I think it's very clear that they don't want it to be like Montreal. I grew up playing hockey there. Our high school used to rent the ice in Ganawage.
Nice.
And occasionally we would have some awesome ringers on our team when we were short on players. Oh, man, were those kids good. Long time ago. But it's just the whole situation, it's so convoluted.
Mm-hmm.
And, for the last month or so, it's been about how the government is neglecting and the government's not doing their share. And then this news comes out, you're saying last night, that I saw this morning. And it just, you know, there's never black and white. It's always gray, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing.
I mean, unless, of course, you're putting a screaming savage logo on your hat. See, then things are pretty black and white.
I was just going to say, too, for a lot of people, and this was certainly true of me when I was a kid, you don't get a lot of exposure to indigenous culture.
No.
And all of a sudden, you know, if your only exposure is seeing Chief Wahoo or seeing the Screaming Savage logo, you know, it can really distort
the that's why
representation.
There's a bunch of idiots out there that still think, you know, Nanook of the North is accurate.
Yeah.
Like it's
also amazing that given it's 2013 and it's indicative of how we've ignored Aboriginal issues, that there are the Indians and the Redskins and the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Like the fact those are still teams.
Mm-hmm. And the Chiefs and the Braves.
Exactly. Like
and all of the universities. The NCAA has actually supposedly banned abusive and hostile Native imagery, but there's still Chief Illiniwek and the Seminoles as well. So there's still some.
Are the Fight and Sioux still around?
Yeah.
Or did they
sure.
change that one? North Dakota Fight and Sioux?
I'm not sure. They might have.
It's I don't know. I'll tell you, if there were the Toronto Jews, I'd be pretty upset.
Yeah, I mean, that's what people don't sort of, you know, extrapolate it to other ethnic groups. Like, what if this were the case? And, you know, what if there was a team called the Toronto Jews? Would that be in any way acceptable in 2013? Of course not. So why is it acceptable for indigenous peoples?
What's worse is that it wouldn't have been an acceptable 50 years ago. Like the fact that we've made no progress on this.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Well, I mean, certain organizations have acknowledged that it's a problem. I mean, the NCAA banned that back in the mid-2000s. Stanford and Dartmouth Universities and Marquette and a few others completely changed their branding back in the 60s.
Really?
So, I mean, this is something that's been an issue for a really long time. It's not like this has just been brought up over the last few years.
No, but certain people trump, they think the tradition trumps certain sensitivities.
Well, right, and who, I can't remember who it was. It was, I think, a Redskins beat writer who tweeted the Hail to the Redskins song, and instead of Redskins, put expletive deleted. So essentially mocking, you know.
Wow.
You know, the Idle No More movement and similar movements, which is just like, that doesn't help the discourse at all, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a problem, and it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, is that I don't think the media exactly plays a role in where they should in these issues. You
know? It's difficult for a lot. I mean, we're the exception of the rule in that we can go as long on a segment or as short as we choose.
Right.
If CTV is going to do a segment on their news, it has to be 3 minutes.
Right.
And they don't have an extra minute.
Right. But even within sports news, like, how much do we have to know about James Reimer?
Yeah.
You know, like there's
it's demand.
Right.
It's demand. So there's 10 million people living in and around the GTA that want to know about James Reimer.
But don't you think like they fail to understand what the public is actually willing to discuss? Like they feed us what they think we want to know, which is trade rumor and speculation. But I think it's insulting that they don't think that the sporting audience is ready to have those conversations.
What is the highest rated show on television today?
Wow, that's silence.
It's sadness, and I'm happy that none of you know it.
America's Night.
It's Two and a Half Men.
Well, that's offensive in a whole different way.
But think of that. When that is what the majority of the public wants to watch.
Right.
When people are turning on CBS or CTV or TSN, most of the time they're looking for an escape.
Right. But if you also look at like the top watched television shows for the last 30 years and you look at the top 10, you'll find 60 Minutes. So people are willing to listen to intelligent discourse.
Well, I mean,
it's not all Ashton Kutcher.
I agree.
The popularity of shows that, like The Wire or like Treme on HBO that are very political shows, I mean, it suggests that maybe there is still an element of escapism in the political. So.
I mean, yeah, but those aren't, I mean, like, I don't know what the ratings were for those shows, but they weren't on network television. They couldn't have been getting, you know, like Mad Men's numbers are huge for AMC, but they're tiny compared to The Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is what we have to accept. This is the world that we live in.
Well,
and people want to know that James Reimer is from a small town, like Johnny Bowers was from a small town, and that Ben Scrivens has Gord Downie on his helmet.
Are you mocking the charm of Johnny Galecki?
I'm mocking the Leafs is
that
what I'm trying to do.
That man is an underappreciated genius.
He will always be Darlene's boyfriend
That's
on Roseanne
right.
to me.
Yeah.
You just dated yourself.
I did. I'm 32 and I'm proud of it, all
right? That's right.
I just finished watching that show in its entirety. By the way, very underrated show.
Roseanne.
Very underrated. Yes, I love that show.
Wow.
Well, no, for sure. I mean, they dealt with, like, middle-class issues.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wasn't there, did that show have the first ever gay kiss on network television?
Yeah, wasn't it,
It was Meryl Hemingway.
Meryl Hemingway.
Yeah.
And,
and Roseanne.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah.
There you go. Beating Ellen to the punch.
Yeah,
part of the problem is too is that the media has reporters have a hard time talking about things like indigenous iconography as well, because I know a fairly prominent Indians beat writer, and I won't out him here, but he actually contacted me after I released my original article on indigenous iconography, and he wants to speak out, but he can't. I mean, he's employed by Major League Baseball, he's employed by the Cleveland Indians, and if he were to speak out, that'd be a huge problem. So. It's tough to do that, but
well, and that's where the beauty of something like your site, Travis, runs batted out, is that, you know, alternative media has more of a voice now. You know, if you have an internet connection, you have just as much power in a lot of ways as all these other larger entities.
Absolutely.
And I think stuff like what you're doing is really, really improving the conversation, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. Because this is all still very new, you know, what happens in the next 5-10 years with these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you're both on the show tonight, frankly, with your alternative media views that we all appreciate so much. And on this mainstream media channel, I think it's important for us to get all those views out there and get them out as loud as we can. Travis, I want to thank you so much for your time tonight. We really appreciate
it. Actually, before I go, too, I wanted to say I just saw Nick Dyka from the Arkells.
Hey.
They played a show not 5 minutes from my front door on campus here at the University of Windsor. So
I saw
them tonight, and I said hi to Nick, and he says hi to you.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm hoping to catch up with them in Kingston next month when they will be opening for the Hip.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. The Arkells, of course, sing Deadlines, which is the theme song. To the Kaufman Show. Travis, thanks so much for your time, man.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
We'll speak soon.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. There he goes. Travis Reitzma. Follow him on Twitter. Reitsma is how you spell Reitzma, in case you're wondering. And his website is Runs Batted Out. This is The Hip with Goodnight Attawapiskat. Our thanks to Travis Reitzma. Coming up next, a little hockey talk with Stephen Hindle on The Kauffman Show. Show. Dave Kauffman, Jay Farrar not here tonight. Special in-studio guest Mike Spry is with us, and we're about to be joined by one of my favorite hockey analysts, Mr. Stephen Hindle. Follow him on Twitter, at Stephen Hindle. Hello, sir.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. How are you?
I'm terrific. I mean, for the better part, I hope all hockey fans, whether they had to bite their tongues a little bit or not, are happy to be back. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I think the overriding theme, Steve, is that everybody does seem pretty damn happy. The voices of let's boycott and that disenchantment, they seem to have gotten awful quiet over the last couple of days.
Well, hockey fans are a fickle bunch, and you can liken them to perhaps that kid and his cookies and milk, and that if you take those cookies and milk away, they're just going to whine and whine and whine and whine. The moment you give them back, the moment they had without the milk and cookies, they forgot all about. Now it's back to normal. And that's what it's like for all of us. In the last 48 hours, everything is sort of, it's like a dust storm that just kicked up. People have 4 months worth of questions and answers to actually get into with sincerity, with meaning. We kind of tossed around for example, the Galchenyuk question. That's going to become one of the hottest topics in Montreal over the next 14 days. And for the last 4 months, it's kind of been moot in the sense that he's been sitting in Sarnia playing for the Sting, and while he's done very well, it's had no relevance as to whether he would have made an immediate impact with the Habs. But guess what? That's back on the table. So are the questions about Andre Markov and Scott Gomez and everything else. And every single team in the league is doing it right now, and every fan is asking the questions. And I, among many other media members, are pulling their hair out, trying to sort of pull back up to the table with the right answers and to get on top of this thing. But we've got a couple of days before it all kicks off, and needless to say, it's going to be fun, especially with signings that have to be made and everything else.
What's the vibe in other major American cities where you would think that other things have kind of taken the place, you know?
Yeah, tentative is one word I could use to pretty accurately describe Washington's current situation. I think there was a lot of animosity stirred up with the comments Alex Ovechkin made about potentially staying in Russia when the lockout was going on. I know that Ted Leonsis was not favorable to that reaction. And, you know, there's other situations. I had a call maybe within moments after the 5 a.m. announcement. I didn't even get the call, but it was a message from a friend in Boston who was just ranting and raving about how excited he was that the season was going to be back and when were we going to get to a game. So I think there's such a yin and yang between the hockey fan and the actual markets themselves, because all the crazy hockey fans in every market are just lit up and ready to go. But as a whole, I think one of the most important situations to focus on is a community like the Los Angeles Kings community. They just won their first Stanley Cup, but didn't really get to sort of carry that magic through as they were supposed to. They didn't get a chance to raise their banner at the right time. They lost momentum, and they lost a lot of traction in the wake of, you know, the NBA season starting up and everything turning back to a bunch of other players. So it's up and down across the board. But I think that most of all, Canadians will be the first among all hockey fans to accept it and get back to being passionate. Well, the NHL resumes its consistent battle with the United States in winning the fan base back.
In conversation with Steve Hindle on the Kaufman Show, Steve, who won?
It's a tough call. I mean, no one really won. I think the owners clawed back what they were determined to claw back in the first place, but all of the inching back and forth between both sides that took place well after the fact that the 50-50 split was going to be established moving forward, no one wins. The hockey fans lost most of all. Players lost. They certainly didn't gain. And I think that the only fair assumption for the players is to say that what they gained is that they didn't lose as much as they lost last time.
How ridiculous is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not really fair when you think about it, but ultimately their goal was to stave off not having to take a step back, and they did that. So I guess you could say that's their victory. But it all rings hollow, and it rings hollow for the owners, too, because they've just thrown, you know, half of a season practically of profit in the garbage. Not that they won't recoup some of it, but they really did lose a fair chunk of money. And, you know, they may see it in future years, but they're not going to see it from this year. And in the end, it was all for naught. You know what I mean?
Do you think that people will be able to get behind a 50-game season?
It'll take a little time. But let's be honest, football does come to an end at a certain point, and that is just a real important factor for hockey, and it kind of has been in the last few years, and that once the NFL plays itself out and the Super Bowl is decided, all that is left is hockey and the NBA. And while they are in competition with one another for arena space, they don't necessarily attack the same markets in the same way. And it leaves the NHL with a lot of room to grow the game. And I got to be honest, as much as the lockout affected us this year and we are where we are, the biggest and most important months of the NHL season are pretty much March through June. Those are most notably the money-making months, the playoff months, where the owners aren't paying players. The revenues are coming in at sky-high prices because most arenas are sold out. So the less of the off the top early end of the regular season the owners don't have to deal with, the easier it might be to say that this season could be a success. So I'd say give it a month, and hey, there's not a lot of time, so you know things are just going to be happening, and I think that will make it exciting right from the start.
Buckle up and follow Steve Hindle on Twitter at Steve, S-T-E-V-E, Hindle, H-I-N-D-L-E. Thank you so much for your time, my friend.
My pleasure, sir. Hopefully a lot more hockey to talk about in the very near future whenever they do decide to give us that official start date.
Yeah, when that does come to fruition, please do join us in studio.
Anytime you wish, sir.
Good stuff, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, take care.
I got it. The blues, man. I got three shows tonight, honey. We have some fun until 5 o'clock. And the food is going to stop.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Mike Spry. Having fun, Mike?
I'm having a great time.
Good.
Jay can stay as sick as he likes.
Feel better, Jay. We miss you, buddy. I gotta say I listened in intently when I was in Toronto last summer and Jay took the reins of the show with Jay Baruchel. So I know that feeling. Jay is probably not sleeping. He's probably sitting up and still waiting for that matzo ball soup to make its way to his house. And,
it's okay. I can only legally stay in Montreal 3 days.
And then who goes after you?
It was part of the court proceedings.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Let's take some calls. 514-790-1690-1690. If you're out of town, 1-866-896-2546. We are slowing down tonight on the Kaufman Show. Our grand return, coinciding with the triumphant return of the National Hockey League. Woohoo! I'm somewhat excited. I honestly, just because it's something, and it'll be nice to have that something. And you know, it was mentioned earlier in the show. It's so good for the local bars and restaurants, and
for sure,
all these people who. It sucks, but their living is directly affected by what goes on the ice. And you know what? No different here.
Oh, for sure.
This station is the home of the Habs. And, man, we're happy about that they're back.
Well, and there's no more trades the Blue Jays could make.
Well, what else could the Blue Jays do?
I'll be honest with you.
I think I'm the only host on this station that has an excitement for Blue Jays baseball and what the Jays have done. It is not catching on over here.
No.
Like I think it should. I get that there's this big mental block with supporting anything Toronto-based.
For sure.
But we got to let that go.
I think so.
Canada's team. And the long and the short of it is that if the Blue Jays do well, it's good for baseball in this country.
For sure.
Which in turn is good for baseball in this province. The Blue Jays are going to do certain things. They've gotten involved in development camps and training and have a partnership with Baseball Quebec right now.
Well, and you have to think that the better baseball does in Toronto and therefore in Ontario and then across the country, the better chance of one day. I mean, obviously MLB is not coming back here. Double A team, you could see, you know, Triple A team. Something like that.
I want to puke. It's
sorry, dude.
No, I know.
I was an Expos fan too.
No,
you know?
It's not even that. And I vacillate. I totally go back and forth on the should minor league baseball come to Montreal. And I just want to very quickly point out the fact that this segment started as being like hockey's back. All right.
And then I took
30 seconds later, we are talking baseball. Yes, sir.
Well, because like, and when's the last time that happened? You know, like. Alex Anthopoulos picked the perfect offseason to, you know, attack his market with big trades and signing of PED users. But hockey is back. I mean, you seem more excited about it than I am. I still have...
I'm shocked as to how... You know what? It was... I woke up Sunday morning and saw that everything had just happened overnight.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm just still in shock about it all. I was so convinced that this wasn't going to happen.
It had to happen.
Why?
Because they couldn't lose another season. They couldn't. There's too much money to lose. There's no way they were gonna lose a second season in 8 years. It just wasn't going to happen.
I was so sure that they were going to blow it up in order to make it better.
I would have bet my life savings of $3,700. I'm sorry.
Wow.
$37.
Oh, okay.
On the fact
God,
that
they were a hockey player. For
that
a second.
We were going to play hockey on. they were going to play hockey on the 19th. I have lingering resentment. I think I had more issues with the players than you did. I kind of turned to the owner's side at some point.
Really?
I felt I had to take a side.
Wow.
I have. Yeah.
I'm shocked just from reading what you write. I'm surprised that was the tone you took.
And. I think there's a huge disconnect between the players and the fans that should be easier to reconcile than the disconnect between the fans and the owners. The owners, there's 30 multi-billion dollar entities
right.
that own hockey teams. There's, what, 729 millionaire players?
Roughly.
I mean, this isn't the perfect
argument. And Petteri Nokalainen.
Right. Jeez. Here's an argument I made on Twitter that wasn't popular, and it's not going to be popular in this room.
All right.
The average income for a Canadian with a high school education who has a part-time job is $21,600 a year.
Okay.
The average income for a NHL player last season was $2.4 million.
Sure, but of the guy that's making 21 grand a year, what's he spending on going to hockey games and, and sitting at the bar and cheering on his Habs?
But my argument is...
It all feeds into it.
Is that disconnect between... The way the PA and the players, you know, especially, I mean, we had social media in this lockout that we didn't have in the last one.
Right.
And so there were these pleas for support, you know, whether you know, direct or indirect.
Like
you know?
from an Alan Walsh type thing?
Exactly. Mean? Alan Walsh. Thank God he blocked me. I was tired of yelling at him. You know, and so Dave McGimsey,
yeah.
who you had on here a couple
yeah,
three, of
weeks ago. 4 weeks ago, yeah.
Who's awesome writer. Sports had the Hump Show here a couple years ago, but Dave had the best point on the barnstormer.com in a segment we do on Fridays called the Round Bus, and you were a guest on the Round Bus
as well.
And Dave said, and it's the best argument I've seen put forward, one of the best is, and I'm paraphrasing, is there's something extremely offensive about a multimillionaire union like the NHLPA adopting the rhetoric of coal miners. And that, to me, represents the disconnect between how the PA was asking for fan support and who those fans are they're asking for support from. Because at the end of the day, the buck gets passed to us, the consumer. We have to make up the difference. No matter what they settled on,
yes,
50-50, the revenue split, escrow, you know, all these terms that, you know, I don't care about. Man, I know too much about collective bargaining. It all gets passed down to us. And so what was most frustrating for me is that in other conversations, consumers are protected. There's consumer organizations. There was no voice for the fan in this. And given what happened in the last time when we lost a year of hockey, I felt there should have been. And I certainly felt that...
You mean like sitting at the table?
Not sitting at the table, but there should have been a bigger voice. And I think the media did a poor job of representing the fan. And especially today came like, you know, and this this is why I'm not excited. Because I don't own a television. So all the – and I was talking about this off air. All the sports journalism for me is either radio, podcast, or print, right? So today I was at the hotel and I was watching sports news on various channels. And then they're interviewing players about coming back.
You mean
back.
Like TSN and TSN2,
like
right?
Like TSN, TSN2, TSN 8. And TSN 690.
And RDS. Yes, exactly.
And RDS and RDS 5. RDS Sank, sorry. And all the questions being asked, no one was saying, so what do you owe the fans? It was, you ready to come back? And you're getting players going, yeah, I'm ready to play three periods. Going to keep my stick on the ice. I'm a good Canadian boy. You know? Like, there's no accountability. There was, P.K. Subban was apologetic. Todd Bertuzzi made some offhand comment about, all these guys who are complaining about us, they're just sitting at the bar watching darts and waiting for us to come back. You know, Todd wow. Bertuzzi, who tried to kill a guy in the ice and still hasn't had his day in court, that was two lockouts ago now. Wow. That's how we measure time now, by lockouts.
In lockouts, that makes sense.
But where was, like, on this day when you're back and, like, they had Sidney Crosby in a scrum, no one asked him. No one said, like, what do you owe fans? You know, I don't necessarily think we're owed anything. I want someone who has the ability to ask that question, to ask that question.
But I don't see what kind of an answer you're going to get. And I want to go back a couple of points ago.
Sure.
A couple of lockouts ago. To your point about the media and that you don't think that the media gave a voice to the fan. What's the media's interest? The media's interest, in my mind at least, should be with the owners. That's what their salary is getting paid. Someone like TSN with a... I mean, in Winnipeg, TSN, Winnipeg has the Jets. TSN Toronto has the Leafs.
Right.
TSN Montreal has the Habs.
Right. Certainly.
Who's paying their salaries?
Media conglomeration is part of the problem.
So, but, and again, at the end of the day, something like
but
this large,
does
giant
the, does
media
the National
company,
Post own a hockey team? Like, I'm just saying, like, the question
No, but does the National Post, I bet you they have a box at every hockey arena.
They have an interest.
I bet you they have an... The NHL being in business and playing games allows the National Post to sell more newspapers.
They have an interest in the fans having interest in the NHL. And in order for the fans who might stop watching hockey, that question has to be asked about what has to be done by the league and by the PA to make sure those people Tune in every Saturday night. Tune in every Wednesday night.
Chantal on Twitter, Habs Girl for Life, just chimed in. This is when fans have a voice. It's up to them to decide to have it heard or not. That's it. I think it's not about the media. I think this has to go deeper than that.
Because tweeting anger, I mean, sure, it's...
It doesn't mean anything.
It's cathartic.
There's too much anonymity on Twitter for somebody tweeting anger to resonate.
Certainly, certainly. And you can, I mean, the one thing Twitter does have, it gives you access to these journos. And,
yes.
And you can ask them to ask the questions. And that was happening part of the time. And there are great journalists out there, you know. I'm not saying that the hockey media is devoid of talent or ingenuity or...
No, and if you read Bruce Arthur or if you read one of Elliot Friedman's blogs, you can see how pissed off these guys are, how fed up they were.
Definitely, because they were up for 16 hours the other day and going squirrely Darren Dreger face all over the internet. But I just... Today, I was expecting more within the interviews. And what did we got? What did we get? You might not have known there was a lockout. You were getting the same stock, cliche, vanilla, Jerome Iginla answers that we see on most sportscasts.
Yes.
And I think
and that
given
we see
what
from
just
all
happened.
Athletes, Mike, this is, and this right. is why we don't, on this show at least,
right.
Try and over interview athletes.
Right.
You don't get much out of it.
Right.
We brought on a soccer player in the summer by the name of, help me out, John, was it Andrew Ranger? No, that's the race car driver. What was his name? The rookie. He was the number one overall pick in the MLS this year from Duke.
Yeah, Wenger.
Wenger. Not far from Andrew Ranger, who I think is an IndyCar driver from somewhere in Quebec. But Andrew Wenger, who had written this blog post that someone like Avi Goldberg would have loved. It was just this like sociological take of the history of Montreal and how he fits into it. And I thought it was really neat. And then I brought him on and it was as if he had everything that he wanted to say, he already wrote in that blog because it didn't have that same effect.
Right.
And the truth is these guys, you know, they learn how to work out. They learn how to eat properly and they learn how to speak to the media. They are not allowed to speak freely.
And what I'm saying is, and this
because
goes back...
Because Republicans buy shoes, too.
Right, and this goes back to the article I wrote for thebarnstormer.com about judging Tory Hunter, is that there needs to be a change in the culture. Like, the culture of sport is deeply flawed.
Yes.
And there has to be a sea change, and something like the NHL lockout should instigate that change.
Should, but...
There's a reason why it's called the Fourth Estate, you know?
Yes.
Frustrating thing for me about the hockey
but
media,
you,
and
you
I think
also
I,
discussed an hour ago how there's much less relevance in the mainstream journalism because of the growth of alternative journalism now.
Right, and again, the problem is with the whole culture. But like,
see, I listen.
Right,
it's a good first date.
But this has gone way longer than my first dates. I've already had a drink poured on me at this point. We're no longer friends on Facebook. we've broken up 6 times and I'm left with the bill.
there's still time for that.
But, you know, like, hockey, all sports journalism, there's, like, you know, the adult men referring to Calvin Johnson as Megatron. Colin Brian Burke Berkey, you know? Referring to these guys as if you were dorm mates at Western in the 80s, you know? Like, there seems to be a lack of a separation between the media and who they're supposed to be covering, you know? And I think that's certainly a huge problem.
Well, there's all kinds of issues. And, I mean, we spend a fair bit of time on this show media critiquing. And all in full openness, critique us. We're more than ready for it, and we're happy to be critiqued.
Right.
Tonight, the Twitter was all ablaze from someone who's probably never used it, Brent Musburger. I don't know if you caught this tonight. Jimmy, is my computer up? Awesome. We're going to play this for you. We'll see how this goes. This is off of Deadspin, but from the national championship this evening. And here we go. No, computer's not going on. Not accommodating. Well, needless to say, Brent Musburger spent a little bit too much time talking about how pretty the quarterback for Alabama's girlfriend was tonight.
Well, I saw a crowd shot. You know, he wasn't wrong. But
no, but just, I mean, first of all, he's 50 years older than her.
Yeah.
She started the night with 3,000 Twitter followers, and at halftime, she was up to 55,000.
They're working together.
It seems a little much. He was talking about how jealous he was that the quarterbacks always get the pretty girls.
Well,
and I know it's a little bit more of a joking version of what we were talking about before, but it's part of that culture.
Yes. And like I said, and that's frustration.
Here we go.
Quarterback at Alabama. You see that lovely lady there? She does go to Auburn. I want to admit that. But she also, this Alabama, and that's A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, okay? And right there on the right is Dee Dee Bonner. That's A.J.'s mom. Wow, I'm telling you, quarterbacks, you get all the good-looking women. What a beautiful woman.
Wow. A.J.'s doing some things right down in
Tuscaloosa. So if you're a youngster in Alabama, start getting the football out and throw it around the backyard with Pop.
Just to let you know, at that point, the game was not yet a total blowout. It was the first quarter. It was only 14-0.
It was a blowout after the anthem.
You know, I don't have much patience for college football, knowing what a mess it is. And even just a 30-second ad tonight during the game was $1 million.
Yeah.
And the players don't see a penny.
Well, they get full scholarships to universities that would cost them, some of them $35,000 a year.
Well, I guess that ain't nothing.
You want to see my student loan debt?
Not really.
I'll trade places with them. And I went to my classes.
You're not wearing a red square, though.
What's that?
I said you're not wearing a red square.
My feelings on the student strike are well documented.
let's go to the phones. We can get back to that in a second. I'm more than happy to talk student strike. As you know, we had Gabrielle Nadeau-Dubois on the show to reassure our listeners that they could go to the Grand Prix and feel safe. they might be accosted by a student telling them that things aren't fair, but everything's going to be okay. They were more likely to get hit by a flying tire than by a protester. Let's go to Ron in Montreal North. Hello, sir.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Happy New Year.
Yes, same to you.
How you doing, man?
A couple of things I'd like to clear up
here. Sure.
Okay. First of all, religion is the last bastion of hate.
Some people would. My rabbi might disagree, but yeah.
Yes, but you did say... You did say he was a Christian, right?
We were talking about Tory Hunter,
yeah.
I think.
Say he was a Christian.
Okay. Yeah, he was using his Christianity as an excuse for not being okay with having a gay.
Did you know, for example, that in Buddhism, okay,
mm-hmm.
the view of homosexuality is the same as the Catholic Church?
Really? No, I was not aware of that, but I would imagine that a lot
religions... And I would not have believed that myself if I didn't hear the Dalai Lama say it with his own mouth. Okay.
Wow.
All right.
A lot of people need to be taught, right?
Another thing. It's like that song. You mentioned it a couple of times.
You have to be taught to hate.
Yeah. You know, like
you know what South that's from, Pacific. Right?
Yeah.
There you go, South Pacific.
You got to be carefully taught. One thing, okay, this is the thing where I can't agree with. It's a two-tier system, okay? You have the owners who are pure capitalists, okay? And they can do what they want, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But the players, okay, have to work under a social system.
Right.
And I would have wanted, I know a lot of people, need the jobs and need whatever. But I would have wanted it to blow up, go to court, get it over with. There's too many teams. I'm fed up with it.
I don't disagree with
you. In 95?
I was on that same wavelength where I was just like, you know what, let's blow it up and let's fix it. But at the end of the day, what an undertaking that would be. And the hockey would die out in so many places.
Sooner or later, they got to do it. They want to expand to 32 teams. Look, when they had the lockout in 95, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch hockey till when was it when Saku Koivu...
2001, I think, or 2002?
I didn't even know who he was.
Wow.
Okay, that's how much I had turned off.
See, that was the average...
That's how much I had turned off.
Ron, that was the average Montrealer's hockey. Reaction to baseball after the 94 strike. I felt something similar after...
But there was a difference. There was a difference, okay? There was a big difference in that. We had players all the time, and we'd get rid of them every year. I mean, that was getting to be, you know, come on, that was getting to be so frustrating. You know, we get good ball players like Tim Raines and whoever else you want to name, and next thing you know, they were gone. They were gone for nothing.
Yeah, but then you're looking at it only from the point of view of the fan of one team. If we're talking about fixing the league, blowing up the league, I mean, we know the Habs are fine. The Habs are always going to be fine. Yeah, they had a terrible season last year, but I mean, they are stable as far as stable franchises go.
Although,
you know what? 10, 12 years ago, when the dollar was 67 cents, the Globe and Mail was bandying about what if the Canadians move out of Montreal.
They weren't so stable.
That's crazy.
And your guest again mentioned Nashville.
Yeah.
Well, the owner of Nashville was one of the hardliners. So I have no pity for Nashville.
Yeah, and he's also the guy that signed that stupid contract, right?
Right.
I mean, which just shows that the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is
doing. We still don't know if it won't be blown up. Like, we don't know what's going to happen.
No, we don't.
I mean, the next 48 games are going to be interesting because, you know, we know the markets that'll work. And we know the ones that are still in question. And those are the ones that are going to have to prop up the league. And those are the fans that are going to have to come back.
What we're going to need is a couple of the teams that are really on the borderline of falling apart to have a really good 48-game run.
Right.
And get fans into it. Frankly, right. The Habs can be terrible. The Leafs can be terrible.
Oh, I won't
it
be
won't
watching.
Affect the bottom line.
I won't
exactly.
be watching.
Pardon?
I won't be watching.
You'll. I would imagine that you'll be...
I told you from 95 on, I didn't watch till when Saku Koivu came back, and it's only because, you know, some guy was coming back from
transcended sports. That story transcended sports.
I was really
certainly.
Interested to find out what it was about.
Yeah.
And then I got back into hockey, but I hadn't watched the game.
The other thing that we haven't talked about, Dave, and Ron, about the last time they came back, there was incentives in the game to tune back in.
Sure.
The red line was gone.
How about Crosby and Ovechkin?
Crosby and Ovechkin, you know, the shootout, well, the gimmick, I mean, whatever you want to call it.
It was better than the glowing puck.
Yeah, you know, but there were some attempts. Obviously, you can't do that when you come in halfway with a 48-game season.
Right.
And there's a lot that won't be able to be done for this season, with the compliance buyouts and that kind of thing. This 48 games, I mean, that's gonna dictate the lifespan of the NHL.
Ron, thanks for the call, man, and thanks for listening so attentively. I feel like you wrote out notes for your call tonight. I appreciate
did.
It. You
I
did, dude. Do. You're the man. That's awesome.
I always do.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
Have a great night.
I got some new people to follow now on.
Yes, you do. MD Spry, Travis Reitzma. Yeah. I know you're following my co-host, Jay Farrar.
I wrote them all down.
Good stuff.
Okay.
Ron, we'll speak soon. All the best.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks,
Thank
Ron.
You.
I think we can probably all agree that the NHL is easier to fix than religion, though.
Oh, yeah. Yet, how were they able to get a ceasefire in Gaza before they could figure out the lockout?
Well, Bettman wasn't involved.
I don't think that would have helped. This is the Kaufman Show, and we'll be back for one more segment. No outstanding warrants for my arrest. Whoa, 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 the pirate's life for me. Welcome back. It's the Kaufman Show. We're going to do one last segment and then put this one to bed. Man, it's good to be back on air. I'm telling you, 2 weeks off, way too long. I got to do a couple of update appearances on Melnick in the afternoon, which is always a pleasure, but nothing like being on your own show. So it's a lot of fun. That was Whistleblower by the Arkells. I hope you're all going to join me on March the 1st. I believe it's a Friday night. Arkells are playing the Corona Theater. We'll have some tickets to give away in the next month or two, and man, that's going to be a hell of a party.
That's an awesome venue, man.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite places to see a show in the
beautiful,
city.
Beautiful, beautiful theater.
You can actually pick up now, Hey Rosetta recorded a live album there.
Right on.
Which is available, I believe, on iTunes and at least through the Hey Rosetta website, another great Canadian band. Let's go to Conrad in Côte Saint-Luke. Hello, sir.
Hi, how are you?
Happy New Year.
Same to you, my friend. It's been that long.
Thanks for staying up late.
I love listening to you.
Oh, Conrad, I think we just lost him. Jimmy, if you can come back and just take care of that, I imagine he'll call right back. But Conrad, I don't know if you know him, Mike. Conrad is one of our favorite callers.
Right on.
He is, I believe, 83 years young.
That's a good age.
And his younger cousin was tweeting back and forth with Commander Hatfield.
Oh, wow.
Yes, Mr. Shatner. Another guy that knows his space.
Hatfield's taking some slack for being a Leaf fan today.
I saw that. Well, he tweeted out a picture of the Leafs. I mean, that's he was like had a Leafs poster up in space or something.
Yeah, because that's what you bring with you to space.
Somebody responded very quickly that the last time that a man walked on the moon was more recently than a Leaf Stanley Cup win.
Well, see, I don't believe anyone ever walked on the moon, but that is a conversation for a whole different episode of
I
the Kaufman Show.
I think you and Jay Farrar would get along very well.
Jay Farrar and I have so much to talk about. We have to talk about the moon landing. We have to talk about what happened when Uncle Tupelo broke up. We have to talk about why Sunvolt didn't last.
Hey, Farrar, if you're up, call back, man. Come on.
Is he jealous of Wilco? What is Muzzle the Bees all about? So many questions.
Do theologians really know nothing about your soul?
Exactly.
Is that what's going on?
Exactly.
Here?
I hope that matzo ball soup works. Oh,
it always worked for me.
Because you
charm.
Know what? I'll call in next week.
Oh, Jimmy. I think Jimmy's got Conrad back up on the phone. Right up. Here we go. Hello, Conrad.
Hi.
Well, now I just feel like Conrad is prank calling me.
Yeah.
If he calls back, is he going to ask me if my refrigerator's running? Conrad, are you there? No, well, you know what? After being off air for a couple of weeks and getting a phone call from my co-host that 20 minutes before the show, half an hour before the show, that he wasn't going to be able to make it tonight, and then Dave Zirin begging off at the last second. I think for everything that we've dealt with tonight, this has been a heck of a show.
I had a good time, man.
Good, good. I really enjoyed meeting you. This was a blast.
For sure, man. I'd love to come back anytime I happen to be in Montreal. It'd be great to stop in. Or, you know, you can call me at Wakefield. I get lonely.
I imagine you might.
Especially on Monday nights from 11 on.
From 11 on, unless there's a sporting event, at which point we will be on afterwards.
I love a good preemption.
Maybe there'll be some curling next week.
Oh, curling.
It'd be fun to come on after the Scott.
Now, if there was a curling lockout, then we would see a nation in peril.
Oh, my God. I would imagine they would side with the players in that.
Are they unionized? I thought they were all just Tim Hortons employees on a weekender in Regina.
Russ Howard has something to say about that. I feel like Vic Router is going to call and start yelling at us now.
Oh, the wrath of Vic.
Which would not be cool.
No.
Would not be cool
I'm
at
afraid
all.
Of Vic Router.
John Kakalakis, you've...
Make the final...
Pardon? Make the final?
Yeah. He's doing my Vic Router impersonation.
Wow, out of left field.
Nice.
Are you happy that hockey's back, John?
Yeah, sure I am. You know what? I understand. And the one thing that I can't relate myself to, they live in another planet, you know. And I had a feeling that it was over. I wrote that on my Facebook page on Saturday in less than 24 hours.
That's right. I saw that.
Yeah. I mean, just by going over the tweets from former players and so on and so forth. I'm glad. Listen, it sucks that we lost a couple of months of the season, but the good thing, and I agree with Mike, that we had a lot of incentives going into the 05-06 season, and I think the main incentive we have now is that the fact that it will be a 48-game season, so this will be a very tight race till the end of the season.
Right, which to me, John, is a great advertisement for
adopting a 48-game season in the future.
Yeah, actually, absolutely not.
Because really, who cares about those other 34 games?
That's a lot of time to kill for Canadians, though. The divorce rate would go sky high.
That or maybe people would actually start talking to each other. Be interesting to do a little study. Maybe we can get Avi Goldberg to get on that one for us to see what the if there has been an increase in the birth rate the divorce rate during the lockout.
I can only maintain a relationship if the Habs go deep into the playoffs. The problem is if they
don't. So you haven't had a relationship for 20 years then.
It's horrible.
Well, that's not true. They did make the semifinals.
At 2010, I was doing all right. You know, Yaroslav Halak, he almost got me married.
Wow. Well, that's pretty impressive. Hopefully Carey Price can get you laid.
I'm just wondering if the federal mediator wasn't there, would they have found a solution to this?
What that mediator did was he ran from the NHLPA's hotel to the NHL offices back and forth all day until he felt that they could get in the room together.
Exactly.
Sounds like the smartest man on earth.
Yeah.
I say we just give him the Hart Trophy. Well,
but what was the name of the first... The
Guy Sirota.
Who lasted, 27 minutes?
Well, yeah, because you went onto his Twitter feed and it was all like, hi, Sarah Silverman. Yeah. You're pretty, Sarah Silverman. Now, there's certain things that Jewish guys can think, they just shouldn't tweet.
Yeah.
We'll put that in there. Mike, when the couple of minutes we have left, I do want to just talk again about the barnstormer.com because it's one of the coolest Canadian websites out there. And I appreciate what you guys are bringing. I know you've had some huge hits in the last few months on your website.
Yeah,
mainly
man,
because of the Diary of Cheap Throat.
Cheap Throat, we had a locked at NHLer who ran a pretty much a daily diary for us for about 90 days. And it really, people have a craving for hockey, so they're jumping on the site and they're reading his adventures, and that brought them to some of our other articles. You know, it was like a loss leader. You know, it was cheap bacon at Provigo. The barnstormer.com, it's been going since May. We're really happy with it. We're proud of what we're writing. We're proud of where it's positioning itself within the discourse of sports. And a lot like what you're doing here, opening it up to new avenues of discussion. And I think that's important in age of digital media, which has given us all these advantages.
Let's keep that dialogue open between the Barnstormer and the Kaufman Show.
For sure, man.
I like where both those things are.
Do a remote show from the Black Sheep in Wakefield.
Oh my God, would that not be the
before
most
the
fun
Hayden
thing
show
ever?
in March?
Well, maybe not for. I don't know if I'd head out there for a Hayden show in March, but I saw Hayden. My God, almost 15 years ago. I can't imagine that it would compare.
Well, I'll call Gord Downey. He'll put a solo thing together. The Black Sheep. You'll open.
I was there
we'll
for
a little, Kaufman.
Deal.
We'll
I was there fun. For Buck 65 last year. That would be a pleasure. I'd go up there and see Mr. Turfry any day of the week.
I got a lot
Jimmy,
of space.
We're gonna end the show here. So you just tell Conrad that we'll speak to him next week, and that we wish him all the best, and. I'm wondering how much of this is picked up on Jimmy's mic, because I can hear him in my ear right now. And Conrad, thank you for the call, and we'll catch up next Monday night. Want to thank John Kakalakis and Jimmy Garofalis on the board. Nice to see your smiling faces, gentlemen. Mr. Spry, M.D. Spry on Twitter, M.D. Spry, and The Barnstormer or The Beastormer?
The Barnstormer.com, The Beastormer on Twitter.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, man.
It was a blast tonight.
Anytime.
Feel better, Jay.
Walk home across the bridge when the marquee shut down. There's a reason that I love this town. Nobody cares how much money you have. If you've got enough to get in a cab, there'll be drinks on the house if your house burns down. There's a reason that I love this town. I saw your band in the early days. We all understand why you moved away. We'll hold a grudge anyway. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, then I'll write one for for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw face down in our soup, some French restaurant. I saw Rivière du Loup last night at a tour. We burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
You've been listening to The Kaufman Show. I'm Dave Kaufman, and we'll be back next week.
I don't know. What'd that sound like?